I'm a chicken fried. A cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And the radio.
Is Blaze Ngolia. You know, he's been chief financial officer now for a few months. And I don't think anybody's made more of an impact in that role in my lifetime in Florida than he has since he's been in there. He's been a real bulldog on all these issues.
So when I heard the governor say that last week, I thought, in just a couple of months, Blaze Ngolia has been the most significant CFO that he's ever seen in his life. And, you know, I do sometimes talk to the former CFO of the state of Florida, who is now our congressman. He joins me by phone now. Couldn't make it work on Monday, but we've got him for you now. Jimmy Patronis, congressman for District 1, Northwest Florida. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Anything you want to, I don't know, say or not say?
So many things to say, but man, look at the time.
All right, fair enough. No worries.
I love Ron DeSantis. He's done an amazing job as governor, and I wish him well and whatever he looks forward to doing in his future.
So. Okay. All right. Fair enough. I'm not trying to cause trouble, but I did want to give you a chance to respond if you wanted to. Andrew, you're obviously trying to cause trouble. Well, all right, whatever. I didn't start it. I'm just the reporter. Let's talk about government shutdown, because a couple of very significant things have been happening. One is that the president is now saying that people who are furloughed may not be entitled to back pay. I've always thought this. Why should we pay people for not working? It doesn't make sense. We didn't get the product that they were supposed to produce for all the time they didn't work. Why should they be? I mean, people who are working, you know, air traffic controllers sometimes, military, if they're working, fine, pay them their back pay, of course. But I don't know why we pay people who didn't do work.
So evidently there was some type of law written in 2019
yep.
that obligates the Congress to pay back these individuals. So, I mean, it'll be something that'll get, I'm sure it'll get debated and re-reviewed. The president kind of spoke to it yesterday with that exact same tone, and he was making it kind of a partisan reply. And it seems like a little bit later he walked it back. I think as the president's got the biggest pulpit in this space, I think he's just, you know, obviously trying to use this for his negotiating leverage with
looking
Schumer
for leverage
and the rest of the crazy Democrats.
Okay. The other question is, you know, when? Do you have any sense of how soon? Because people are going to start missing paychecks soon.
Correct. So 7 days and counting. We get to date 7 more days from now, these guys are going to be missing paychecks. And then it's going to be a totally different type of pain. Northwest Florida has a lot of people that count on the federal government for a paycheck. And then some people live from week to week. Some people live from month to month. Some people, you know, quarter to quarter. But some of those week to week folks are going to really start feeling some pain. And, you know, the House passed a clean CR. I think what you'll see is the president definitely wants something done, but is that he's been pretty consistent. We will work on whatever you want to talk about regarding health care subsidies after we've got a functional government. And even Pelosi came out and said, shutdowns are not made to be policy debates, you know. We'll see. I'm frustrated, but at the same time, you're really starting to get a deep dive on what parts of government we miss and what parts of government we need.
Yeah.
What we really need. And so I hope, if nothing else, we try to learn from what services are really not the role of the federal government anymore, and maybe have an opportunity to save some money at the same time.
Well, you know, that whole zero-based budgeting concept that every year you come with nothing, expecting nothing, and you get what you really can justify. Sometimes you got to experience a zero-based budget across the sector in order to really feel like, you know, well, okay, that we can do without that. No, we really cannot do without that. I mean, there's a certain, you know, there's a certain validity to that that makes sense to me. One of the things, I had a conversation on Friday with Ryan Jenkins, you know, my good friend. He's a farmer in Jay, Florida. He kind of speaks for the farming community. And he was, look, you know, farming's rough to begin with. He says the tariffs are killing them. Input prices are high. Output prices are dramatic. You know, people aren't buying the stuff because of the tariffs, retaliation, whatever. But he said one of the things that has really screwed the farmers right now is the shutdown, because If it came in December, fine. If it came in March, fine. But it comes at harvest time, and there's this process by which farmers get paid for their crops through the government project plan. I don't know all the details, but he says that because the government is not working, those checks aren't coming exactly at the time when they need the money the most, and days are hurting them right now. What are you guys doing about that?
Well, and just like your point earlier, the timing of this particular shutdown has really punished them because of harvest time.
Yeah.
There've been letters circulating with members of Congress, as I've gotten a couple of them asked, you know, hey, will you pile on? We're going to send this to the White House and create some urgency to get some of these checks out. Because the president's already said multiple times, look, with all these, you know, billions of dollars in tariffs that we've collected, we need to go out and help our farmers. So the president has not said it once, but he said it multiple times. I see something coming in the near future as Trump is going to take dollars, new dollars that have been collected, and try to offset some of the expectations that a functional federal government should have covered.
Okay. And I mean, we have tariff money. I mean, the tariff money is, I mean, a lot of money. And so,
that's,
you know,
right,
there's some money available. We're talking to Jimmy Patronis, our congressman for District 1. I don't want to let you go because you and I were talking off the air a little bit about this, and you wanted to make sure people are aware of the T-Mobile Escambia High School opportunity to possibly win $1 million for renovating their field, right?
Yeah. So this is free money. The easiest way to tell you, if you can go to my Twitter, at Jimmy Patronis, there's a link on there where you can go click it, and it will then take you to a page where you just vote, and you can vote once a day up until the day of the last vote. Right now, it's Escambia High. It's the only high school in the entire state of Florida. So I've reached out to our senators, other members of Congress, said, guys, come on, let's turn this volume up. You know, Matt Gaetz went and tweeted it, and even Joe Scarborough went and tweeted it. I'm trying to get as many folks out there retweeting this where we can try to bring home some money for our local high school. So let's have some, you know, fun right now trying to improve a facility that, you know, everybody gets to enjoy.
Yeah, I've been talking about it. I've voted every day. I've also been voting for Blue Wind Technologies. It makes the nacelles for the coolest thing made in Florida, which is another one. But I don't think I put the Escambia High one on our Facebook page, but I will definitely do that before the day is out today, this morning, so people can go find it very easily there. Because, yeah, free money, great thing. You know, they got, I think, $25,000 already. They could get $1 million. And even second place, I think, gets money. So, you know, that's great. I'll take it. Israel and Hamas, it seems like they're still talking, which is good, in Egypt, which is good. I mean, what's your level of optimism about this? It seems to never work. It seems to never come through. But, man, if it could, you know, I can kind of see the pathway, right?
Well, one, I think it's as good as long as Trump's in office. He kind of holds it all together. I think other, you know, sticking points is Hamas would have to give up not just all their rockets, but their firearms also. I would be shocked if that's not a sticking point.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Israel will be releasing the worst and the worst of that they have in prison right now. So there's a number of really huge concessions that are being made in order to bring this in for Elena, to bring this new oversight commission in place. But I mean, it's a shame, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of people have died because of this conflict. And I feel for Israel. I feel like this was their 9/11. You know, at the same time, the retaliation has brought out, you know, cries from all over the world of making sure there's a two-state solution over there. But I think President Trump has done the best that he can right now. And, you know, Steve has done an amazing job with so many other events, and the fact that Jared has history with the Abraham Accords. They're doing the best they can in Egypt. They really wanted to bring it in for a landing on the 7th. But, you know, I just think you're dealing with a fight that's existed for 3,000 years.
Yeah, as you say, this has been a conflict that's off and on again for as long as any of us have been alive, and long before that. Also, you know, it's something people, you mentioned it was their 9/11. You know, just shy of 3,000 people died directly in the 9/11 attacks. 1,200, I mean, almost half as many died in Israel in that one attack, and that's a much, much smaller country by population. So it's just, you know, in perspective,
that's
sometimes
right.
Easy to forget just how significant that was for them. I wanted to ask you about I thought that the bringing the admirals and the generals together, I thought it was interesting. You know, Trump's speech, I kind of, you know, I'm going to put that aside. But obviously, Pete Hegseth's speech was very interesting, has generated a fair amount of controversy, even some resignation since. But I thought it was the announcement that, hey, we're going to do things this way. This is how we win wars. We got to be the Department of Winning Wars and not anything else. What was your reaction to that?
Well, I think managing people is always a challenge. And as you've got these agency heads, and you see it in Tallahassee, and now you're seeing it firsthand, that these agency heads that come in and they realize they've got a massive undertaking. It's hard to steer a mountain. And so I think, you know, one to start is go ahead and get everybody face-to-face, do some engagement. And look, you get to hear firsthand what your new boss feels is the direction we need to go in. And look, you're going to get some – every time in Tallahassee, when you have a new department head hired, there's some people that leave because – they don't like the battle rhythm of this particular new leader that's been tapped or elected or appointed to lead it. So I think this is normal. And look, some of these guys, they're retirement eligible, and you know the philosophy that's being pitched to them is not the right one. Well, you know what? I think, in my opinion, Pete Hegseth has every right to build out the team he wants to build, and the president has the right to build every team he wants to build. And if you don't like it, the next election cycle, you go and get engaged and you go recruit the person or you vote for the guy who's going to be like-minded with your philosophy. I appreciate what Pete's doing. I think sometimes it's important to shake things up and you really figure out who's going to be loyal to the mission in order to serve the American public.
You know, it is kind of funny. For years, you hear this expression, elections have consequences, but you also hear the complaint that it doesn't really matter who I vote for. Both sides wind up doing the same things. Well, not with Trump. I mean, you know, with Trump, elections have consequences, good or bad, whatever you think. He's the one who says what he's going to do, and then he does it, and sometimes even more. And so, you know, you can't complain about it not mattering who's the president and then complain when the president matters. It's kind of, you know, pick your poison. Hey, last thing, Congressman, I just wanted to ask you, going back to the shutdown for a second, on the issue of health care.
Yeah.
This is a thing that I'm not sure that everybody understands this, and, you know, I just kind of want to put a bug in your ear about this. But, I mean, people, this allegation about the health care subsidy, about the Obamacare plans, and about people having affordable health insurance, one of the challenges is, and this is for like my family, we run into this every year, is we have to decide what makes more sense for us. Is it to opt into our, you know, workplace allowed health insurance, or is it to try Obamacare? And the biggest challenge with Obamacare for us is maybe not knowing what our income is going to be. And if you get it wrong, it can cost you a lot of money if you make more than you expected to make. But sure. Also, it's knowing whether you even qualify for the subsidy and all the rules. And it always seems to come piling on right in December when decisions have to be made right away. That's one of the reasons I was talking to my wife about this. She says, part of the challenge is even if we do a CR through November, even if we push it back, it's not that. It's the what is the subsidy going to be, or is there going to be one, and what kind of health care is even on an option, and how quickly do I have to make these decisions? That's part of the challenge. The other part is I just wish Obamacare got rid of the catastrophic plan, right? You cannot just have high deductible only for the big expense items. That's the kind of car insurance right. I want for my body. I don't want to have to get free doctor's visits. But I don't want to have to lose my house because somebody got cancer or a heart attack. I want to pay a little bit of money for a big catastrophic plan with a high deductible, and I cannot. And I wish somebody could find a way to bring those back.
Well, I've always been that big advocate. I was in the restaurant business for 30 years. That was part of our cafeteria plan, is we allowed people, you know, we would work where they could do pre-tax purchases, where they could buy a catastrophic plan on heart disease, a catastrophic plan on cancer. And at the end of the day, if you've got good genes, and my doctor's told me this all the time, he said, Jimmy, it's all genetics. You know, I mean, you can be in incredibly great shape, but your cholesterol sucks. Well, it's because, you know, you got it from your mom and dad. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's really a lot to be said for exactly what you said and what you would like to see that we once had. And, you know, we really got to bring something like that back in the marketplace. I'm sure what the challenge is the young invincibles, which we're already talking about, the ones that never use health insurance, but we figure out some way to make them pay for it. They're, you know, subsidizing all the ones that are for the older folks that are now in the mode of life where they're seeing the doctor, you know, once a quarter.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's a big, hairy, complicated topic. I just kind of wanted to put a bug in your ear because, you know, you're in a position to do something about it. And, you know, I think a lot of us are realizing long ago that Obamacare is not the answer. What are the tweaks and changes that might make it functional or make it affordable for us? So I appreciate you listening to me rant for a second.
And what the Democrats are complaining about is the enhanced subsidies. Those were COVID-era subsidies.
Yeah.
It's not COVID anymore, okay? You know, we're out of COVID. So justify to me why we need COVID-era subsidies if we're not in COVID. So, you know, and the subsidies that are there, they are there. We're not talking about getting rid of the subsidies. We're talking about revisiting whether or not we truly need the enhancement. The enhanced subsidy that they're talking about, that's a $30 billion recurring expense. Mm. And so then I'm questioning, is it even necessary? Is it just simply going to the bottom line of the health insurance companies?
Amen.
So, I mean, that's
This is some of the struggle.
Well,
Jimmy, I appreciate the time, all the different topics that we talk about. I appreciate you spending some time with our audience and with me this morning. Jimmy Patronis, our congressman for Florida District 1. We look forward to talking to you next Monday. Thank you, as always, for the attention. I appreciate
it. Yeah, and hey, if anybody wants to lean in, if you're being affected by the shutdown, the only number you need to call is 202-224-6542. That's Chuck Schumer's office.
Jimmy, we'll talk to you next Monday.
202-224-6542.
We'll talk to you next Monday. Thank you, sir.